Bloodborne, Chapter 9, Prisoner.
Hey, wake up. Is she still alive, sir? Yeah, she's breathing. Wake up.
With a bit of effort, Vala opened her eyes. She tried to focus on the faces in front of her, but her vision blurred. Her whole body was numb. She was standing against a smooth wooden plank that was angled back slightly, held upright by leather restraints. The room she was in was a good size, and it smelled too clean, as if all the life had been leached from the air. Someone grabbed her chin, forcing her to look up. It was the Talrin. She remembered him from the attack on the camp. She knew she'd heard his name before she had been knocked out, but her head was spinning too fast to recall it.
Good. You're awake.
He sounded almost relieved.
Sir?
The speaker was one of the strange Doomerin hybrids.
Your father wanted to know as soon as the prisoner was conscious.
Sir.
Thank you, Tenor. I know.
The Talrin responded.
You don't have to sound so formal. That's my father's role, not mine.
Sorry, sir. He took a step back, standing behind the Talrin. A new figure entered the room, and the elite snapped to attention, placing his right fist over his heart in a salute. Vala saw a familiar figure with wine-colored skin, graying black hair, and reddish-purple robes.
At ease, soldier.
The older Talrin glided up the stand in front of Vala.
So, she's awake?
You can't just see that for yourself, father?
The younger Talrin tilted his head, and a lock of dark hair slipped free from his ponytail, drifting down to settle over one eye before he tucked it behind his ear.
None of your sass, the elder snapped, before turning back to Vala. Now, what do we have here? A rogue Doomerin, and a young one, too.
Vala glared at him, fighting against the restraints.
What were you thinking, breaking in here like that?
His voice was smooth, but it had an edge.
Surely you didn't think you could get away with it.
Yeah, I think I got away pretty well, she snapped defiantly. I also think that this place should keep really important stuff locked up better.
What does that mean?
He asked.
She had these on her, Zarloth.
A second Doomerin soldier held up the vials Vala had stolen.
You will call me Sir, Elite.
Zarloth snapped, taking the vials.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
The younger blue-skinned Talrin studied Vala. Her head was clearing now, and she remembered his name. Arian.
Why did you break in here?
Zarloth continued.
You should have known that was a bad idea.
You should hire better guards, Vala snapped, still defiant.
And maybe you should stop killing them,
Zarloth retorted.
You certainly seem to like slaughtering my warriors.
Wait, she killed some of our men?
One of the Doomerin whispered to Arian, barely loud enough for Vala to hear.
How many?
She and her friends have killed or incapacitated at least 10 of them, he replied. Maybe more.
The elite's expression remained emotionless, but he bowed his head slightly.
Everyone out! Zarloth ordered. Arian, you can stay or you can leave. It's your choice.
Arian leaned against the wall with his arms crossed and his tail curling around his leg, silently watching as the others slipped out the door.
Now, why don't you tell me why you broke in here?
Zarloth pressed.
Why don't you go kiss a troll?
You killed my soldiers. I will not tolerate that,
Zarloth said, ignoring her insult.
Why don't you tell me why you broke in, and I may reconsider hurting you?
Why do you even care if I killed a few of your men, demon spawn?
Vala snapped.
Besides, it wasn't all me. It wasn't my fault they chased me and wound up dying.
Even if you didn't kill all of them yourself, you still broke in. And you are still at least partly responsible for their deaths.
Vala didn't answer. In her peripheral vision, she saw Arian shrink back against the wall slightly. Zarloth turned away from her and walked to a small table she hadn't noticed before. It was covered with handheld torture devices. He picked up a short, wicked-looking knife and turned back to her, holding it under her chin. She stared at him, trying to hide her fear, but her heartbeat quickened as he brushed the serrated edge of the blade across her throat.
I know more about you than you think, he said. I know what you are, And I know that you wouldn't break in here without a reason.
You don't know anything about me.
Really? He asked scornfully. You're a worthless, lawless rogue. You'll kill whoever you have to if you're paid enough. And you steal, lie, and cheat to survive. We both know that you wouldn't take a risk like coming in here unless you were paid to do it. What I want to know is who hired you and where are they now? Whoever it is seems very interested in my business, which is something I do not appreciate. You will tell me, or I will force the answer out of you.
She stayed silent, glaring at him.
You will tell me who hired you, thief, he demanded. Now!
She grinned at him defiantly, her gaze as cold and sharp as his knife.
You will tell me who hired you.
Why should I?
Because if you don't, you're going to regret it.
He spun the knife on his finger.
What? You think I won't use this on you?
Do whatever you want. Vala challenged, pulling at her restraints. You won't get anything from me. He smiled at her, then stabbed the knife through the back of her hand, pinning it to the plank she was leaning up against. She let out a sharp cry of pain. It wasn't quite a scream, but it was close.
So, who hired you?
She snarled an elvish curse.
All right, then. How would you like me to leave you in his custody for a few hours?
Zarloth purred, motioning to Arian.
Like I said, do whatever you want.
Very well, then.
He ripped the knife out of her hand and tossed it to Arian, who caught it effortlessly, then stalked out of the room. Arian walked towards her.
There are only three things I need to know, he said quietly, and you're going to answer me. One, who sent you? Two, what were you sent for? And three, why were you the only one breaking in? I know you have friends back in the forest, so what are they here for?
Why should I tell you?
She snapped, tugging at her restraints again. Her left hand, the uninjured one, was almost free, and she knew if she could get just one hand out, she could unbuckle the rest of the straps and escape.
Because if you tell me now...
His voice was still quiet and emotionless. He pressed the knife against her throat, leaving her skin wet with a line of blood from the blade.
You won't get hurt.
She snarled at him.
I know how to hurt you without killing you, he continued. I won't hesitate to do so, but I don't want to. However, if you refuse to answer, I will.
I'm not going to tell you anything,
she snapped, but she knew he could hear the fear in her voice. Her defiance would only hold up for so long.
It's sweet that you're so loyal to a group of people who would kill you without a second thought. If you're trying to stall until they get here, stop. You should have realized they don't care about you. They aren't going to come for you. Your loyalty is worthless to them.
I'm not loyal to them. I just hate you, demon spawn.
She also didn't want to let him know that she knew nothing that would be useful to him. If she let that slip, she would be dead automatically.
All right.
He moved the blade back to her hand, pressing the tip against the webbing between her index and middle fingers. She closed her eyes, knowing this would hurt, but said nothing. He jabbed it in. She heard the thunk as the knife hit the wood. A split second later, the searing pain registered, and she again let out a sharp cry. He bit his lip, glancing away. She somehow realized that he wanted nothing more than to throw it down and run out of the room. But there was something that kept him there, and it wasn't her.
Tell me who hired you, he repeated. Now.
She stayed silent, both fighting tears of pain and trying to think of a plan. Her hand was almost free, and if he could just leave her alone for a moment, she knew she could get it free. She decided to stall, to wait until he gave up and left. She dodged his question for another 10 minutes trying to think. She could tell that he was getting angry, but also desperate. Despite this, he didn't stab her again.
Sir,
one of the elites, Tenor, appeared in the doorway, saving her from having to stall further.
The sorcerers want a sample of her blood, sir. They've sent a healer to collect it.
Zarloth appeared behind the elite, who failed to notice him. He pushed the soldier aside and entered the room.
Has she talked?
Not yet, sir.
Arian's voice was a mix of hidden fear and reluctance.
She hasn't said anything.
Sir?
The elite pressed, about to repeat himself.
Sir? The healer?
Let him in, soldier!
Zarloth snapped. Tenor stepped aside, letting a man in the now familiar black clothes and red mask enter the room. He came up to Vala and set the satchel on the table. The things inside it clinked together as it was set down. She closed her eyes again. She didn't want to watch whatever he was about to do to her. Arian saw the fear in his captive as the bag was opened, and he understood it completely. The red mask was all too familiar. The healer reached into his satchel and brought out a small knife and an empty vial. He touched the blade to the captive's arm, and Arian glanced away. The mask and vials brought back memories that he didn't want to relive. He tried to bury them again, but the memories rose up anyways. In his mind, he was 9 years old again, strapped to a table while his father stood over him, holding a vial of blood. It had been his father's idea, and Arian hadn't had a choice. He never had a choice about anything when his father decided it was important to the cause. He gritted his teeth as the crystals pierced his skin, knowing pain would soon follow. Two red-masked sorcerers stood over him, sliding more shards into his arms. He knew he was being enhanced with dragon blood, and he knew it would hurt. But he wasn't prepared for the waves of pain that washed over him. He didn't understand how it worked, but he knew the blood was infused into the patient through a complicated spell that allowed the patient to be changed, to be enhanced. Even as a child, he'd been trained to fight through pain, but he'd never faced anything this intense. He slid in and out of consciousness for a while as the sorcerers and healers hurried around him. He saw the crystal covering his arms, and then the crystal was breaking. He saw his father's face first, a mix of shock and worry, then he realized why. He looked normal. No scales, no signs that he'd been enhanced at all. This experiment had been done on a few subjects before, but none of them had been as young as he was, nor had they been Talrin. He had initially thought his mixed heritage might have had an effect on the spell, but his father had forgotten about it. His mother was part Dark Elven, but Arian had shown no signs of Elven blood until this point. The half-elves who had been enhanced previously hadn't had this problem, but they didn't have a Talrin heritage to further complicate things. His father stared at him, saying nothing, then left the room, and finally, the memory shifted. Now, in this memory fragment, Arian was nearly 11 years old, training with his father. Zarloth held a sword, while Arian was empty-handed, with nothing but his enhanced speed and strength to protect him. The experiment hadn't failed, as everyone had thought, but the results didn't appear as they had on the rest of the test subjects. They all had grown stronger and faster, but all except him had developed changes in their appearance, like scales, fur, wings, or altered eyes. He was different. He was stronger, and could move faster than many of the adult test subjects. His father tripped him, knocking him on his back. Zarloth swung the sword in a graceful arc, and Arian instinctively threw up his hand. As soon as he did, he realized his mistake. The sword bit into his arm, drawing blood. Arian was lucky there wasn't any real power behind the swing. If there was, he would have lost his hand. The training he received was more dangerous than that of any of the other Bloodborne, save the elites. His father had pushed him hard, trying to shape him into a perfect warrior, but never felt that Arian was good enough. He could never be the perfect child his father wanted.
"Sir? Sir!"
Tenor's voice hissed, snapping him back to reality. Arian glanced at the elite, trying to place where he was. Tenor nodded towards the prisoner. The healer had finished with her and was packing up his tools back into his bag. Zarloth was watching Arian attentively, and he didn't look pleased. Tenor went to escort the healer out of the room, and Zarloth gestured to the prisoner, waiting for Arian to pull an answer out of her. He'd interrogated people before, always managing to get an answer out of them, but he hated every second. He tried to hide his distaste from his father as he turned to the array of tools on the table. All of them were created for one purpose, that was causing pain. He shuffled them around, hoping to intimidate her into giving up the answers without having to do any real harm. She stayed silent. Zarloth kept his eyes on his son, watching every move. After a long moment, He picked up a dull, jagged razor. Turning to his prisoner, he raised it, planning to let her see it before he had to do something with it. Then, something hit him in the head. Vala hurriedly unbuckled the straps on her right arm, knowing she had little time. While Arian had been looking through his tools, she had wriggled her left hand free and undone the straps on her upper arm and chest. Punching him had given her a few seconds, but he would shake it off fast. Her right arm was free in under a second. Picking locks and snatching small items to survive had advantages. She reached into her boots, praying the Bloodborne hadn't searched her thoroughly. They hadn't. Her daggers were still in their hidden sheaths. She drew both and cut the straps holding her to the wooden plank. Shaking off the stun, Arian grabbed her wrist, trying to force her to drop the dagger. She yanked her arm free and kicked him hard. He staggered back, giving her an opportunity to escape. She darted away, both daggers still in her hands. Zarloth stood back. He was watching to see how his son handled her escape. Arian stepped towards her, dropping the knife and drawing the sword he wore slung across his back. Knowing she was outmatched, Vala ran for the door, which had been left unlocked. She burst through it, startling the pair of elites outside. She finally realized that they were the same pair that had attacked Varun. They chased after her, but she was faster, fueled by adrenaline and fear. Arian shouldered the elites out of his way, catching up to Vala. She reached the end of the hall and tried to open the door, but it was locked. She had no time to pick the lock. Besides, the pouch she kept her lockpicks in had been taken by the Bloodborne. She turned back to Arian, who had almost reached her, and threw one of her daggers. He dodged, and the dagger flew past him, glancing off the silver-white armor of one of the elites. He brought his sword down on her, but she blocked it with her remaining dagger, dropping to one knee because of the impact. He pressed down harder. Vala pulled her dagger back, rolling out of the way and letting his strike hit the hard stone floor. She darted behind him, hoping for an easy stab, but he spun to face her. She stood up, raising her dagger, but before she was able to attempt another strike, Arian glanced at something behind her and nodded. She heard the twang of a bowstring, and something sharp impaled her in the back. She realized too late that she had forgotten about the elites. Two more arrows hit her, and she sank to her knees. Arian cracked the pommel of his sword against the side of her head, and all went black. They had gotten back to the compound about an hour before dawn broke. Zarloth had told Phelan to go rest, but his tone had implied that he really meant, "I don't want you getting underfoot. Get out of here." While the others were busy with the prisoner, Phelan had gone back to his room to try to calm down. He had expected that the mission would just be a quick kidnapping, but the fugitives had posted guards. He had expected that Arian would call it off or order for them to wait, but instead, a battle had ensued. Although he hadn't been directly involved, it had still shocked him. Even though it was okay that it had gone that way and he fully believed Arian knew what he was doing, he had still seen a man brutally cut down in front of him. He'd had no idea how the others seemed unaffected, but he'd suspected that they were either macabrely used to things like that or they were hiding how they felt. He hoped it was the latter. Still, either way, it was okay. Finally, after what felt like hours, he fell into a restless sleep. Although he tried to block out the imagery of the fight when he'd been awake, the vivid scenes replayed in his dreams, becoming hyper-realistic nightmares. Eventually, the dreams shifted to replay another recent traumatic event, when he'd been kidnapped. In reality, it hadn't been all that bad. He merely got up because he was cold, saw fire in the village, and then saw nothing but flashes after he'd been knocked out. He vaguely remembered waking up once in a wagon and seeing trees and a starry sky above him, but then everything had gone black again until he woke up on the table. But his mind twisted the scenes as dreams so often do. In the dream, assassins had attacked the town of Snowgate. A few of the town guards had noticed the disturbance, but the assassins got to their targets before anyone could mount a defense. Phelan had been grabbed and dragged out into the town, where he saw ravenous flames consuming his home and people running in terror only to be cut down. He saw his father standing helpless, pleading for him to do something, but then he was cut down by a chimera and left bleeding on the ground. Then, and only then, Phelan was knocked out by the kidnappers. As the darkness took him in the dream, he felt like he was falling, unable to reach anything to save him.
He flailed, instinctively trying to catch himself on something as he snapped awake and realized it had only been a dream. He sat up, shaking. He couldn't tell what time it was, but although he knew he'd been asleep for several hours, he felt just as exhausted as he had before he'd gone to sleep. He took a slow, deep breath, trying to forget what he had seen, but he couldn't. Even the odd force in his mind telling him he was okay wasn't erasing the fear.